my darling, dearest ones. Welcome to my first AMA. First, I'd like to thank everyone who took the time to contribute a question. There were some really good ones in there. I've kind of split them up a bit so that the topics flow a little bit more naturally. So if you asked multiple questions, they're probably scattered across the length of the AMA. There was obviously a lot of similar questions, so I've grouped those together as well. If you don't hear your question specifically, it's probably just because it's roped into the answer of something else. So yeah, let's get started. I've never done this before. I've never been interviewed. First off, a few people asked, how are you? Which is very sweet. I am doing well. It's currently drizzly and rainy where I am, which is my favorite kind of weather. And I am sitting here with a 2018 Malbec to help lubricate my throat through this marathon session. A very peaceful frame of mind after listening to some very lovely music. So yeah, thank you for asking. I hope you're doing well. By far, the most common question was, how did you find GWA? Why did you decide to start posting? So I'm going to kind of give you my origin story. just to start off with, I have always had a thing for voices. I just love really expressive voices and really unique tones. I love being told stories. You know, I read quite a lot, but I actually listen to Audible, audiobooks quite a bit as well, because there's just nothing like being told a story. It really sets my imagination on fire to hear someone expressing bits of the story that maybe aren't written on the page. So that's my baseline. I very much enjoy voices. Last year, there was a particularly lonely moment, which I think we all probably experienced at one point or another, where I thought, I just really like to hear the sounds of a man in the throes of pleasure. Don't necessarily want to see anything, but if I could just hear something in my ear that for a moment convinced me someone else was in the room with me, be quite a turn on. And it took me a little while to figure out the search terms, to find what I wanted. And when I did, it was a lot of DDLG content, a lot of harder BDSM content, which is not what I intended to find. Nothing against creators or enjoyers of either of those genres, just not for me, especially in that context, because I was looking for a more intimate experience. The feeling of having someone in your ear this close and speaking softly is extremely intimate to me. So the idea of someone calling me names and threatening violence wasn't appealing. After a while, I came across a creator by the name of Matthew. On Reddit, I believe he is Tower of Song. He's got a few different names across different platforms, but I believe he's Tower of Song on Reddit. And a lovely voice, deep, gravelly voice with an adorable Kiwi accent. And the stuff that he was creating was so much different than everything else that I had come across. It was a little gentler, actually a lot gentler, a little bit more true to life situations. and he was creating a very immersive experience with a binaural microphone and sound effects and music and all of that. And I just thought, this is what I've been looking for. This is perfect. So I saw that he had a Patreon. I went onto his Patreon because I firmly believe that people who are doing good work deserve to be compensated in some way or another. And his rate was very reasonable. I think it's at the lowest it can possibly be. So I had no problem supporting him. And a couple of times I saw him mention Reddit and that he was on Reddit in some capacity. I had not been on Reddit at all ever before, in any capacity. So I didn't quite know what he was talking about. And at one point I decided to just go over and have a look. So I went on to GWA for the first time, and it was a bit like that scene in Willy Wonka where they walk into the factory and Pure Imagination starts playing. It was just so much stimulation all at once. I thought, oh my god, this universe has just been here the whole time. Ah, it's amazing. So I started just browsing around very casually, and a bug popped into my brain that said, you know, you could do this. You could probably do it pretty well. I had an existing skill set that lent itself very well to the format, and that bug just sort of implanted itself. And I thought, I just tried to put it, you know, out of my mind. No, it's just something silly. But it didn't go away. So one day I decided, you know, let me just sit down, write something, record it, see how you feel about it. At the very least, it'll get it out of your system. So I did that. And I thought, this is actually pretty good. The way my brain works is whenever I've completed a project or, you know, made something, I want just immediate feedback on it. I just want it presented to the public and to hear, you know, you did this right, you did this wrong, you can improve on this, this was perfect. It's just how my brain works. So as soon as I'd finished it, I knew I had to post it. So I put up that first audio and thought for sure it would get buried. No one would hear it. And to my great surprise, it took off like a shot. I remember the night that I posted it, my heart beating out of my chest, and I didn't sleep a wink because I was so enthralled with seeing the feedback coming back live as people listened to it. I just kept refreshing my phone over and over again and looking at the listen count going up and upvotes going up. It was absolutely thrilling. So yeah, I caught the bug from there and decided to give it a shot, see what I could do if I really pressed myself in this direction. So yeah, if you enjoy my work, you have Tower of Song to thank for me being here. You can go over and thank him for bringing you Vocal Vixen. So we have a bunch of other questions about my experience with GWA, so I'll sort of go through all of those. Another common question was, do I listen to other audios on GWA, what do I look for, favorite creators, that sort of thing. Yes, I do listen to audios. I don't necessarily go out looking for something. I know what I don't want to hear, which is, like I said, more hardcore BDSM, especially anything that contains degradation. I just, if you're there whispering in my ear in a very intimate sort of way, I don't want you calling me names. I want you telling me I'm beautiful and that I feel really good, and I don't want you calling me a cum slut or a whore or something. It's a bit much for me. So yeah, I tend to avoid that sort of thing. I also tend to avoid things that are overly emotional and a bit lovey-dovey. Not really a fan of, like, chick flick sort of things. The number one thing that appeals to me is desire and passion and a true replication of that. I think you can hear that in my audios as well. So I go out looking for the same thing, just truest representations of desire for the other person, desire to please the other person. And I want to hear the pleasure that the other person who's speaking is deriving from the scenario, if that makes sense. So for favorite creators, or VAs, I guess we call them in this context, obviously Matthew, Tower of Song, I still listen to his stuff. He's still doing very good work. You know, he on occasion will produce something that is not to my taste, and that is perfectly fine. He has a large harem of women lusting after his voice, so I can't expect him to be personally catering to me. But on the whole, I would say I very much enjoy his work. The first person who kind of caught my attention once properly getting into GWA was Music and Whispers, who I'm very lucky to have become fast friends with. He and I think, have a very similar approach to creation and to our audios in general. So it was very easy to talk to him, and he is insanely generous with his talents and with his time. Just an absolutely lovely chap who I've grown very fond of. The thing that caught my attention straight off the bat was that he had quite a lot of audios about musicians and having a lot of musicians in my life and always been around musicians in some capacity. That was very appealing to me. He also does some very fantastical things. He's a brilliant writer, as well as an amazing sound engineer. He's got this series currently running called Breach, which I will talk about in a bit, but just the idea behind it is so extraordinary. He's going above and beyond, I think, what most people are doing on the platform. Just, I'm in awe of him constantly. As far as female creators go, I woefully haven't explored a lot, and I really should remedy that. It's hard because I don't want to unconsciously steal from anyone. You know, there's only so many keys on a keyboard. We're all just trying to rearrange them to make a song. So I don't want to accidentally fall into copying someone, and also I don't want to compare myself to anyone else's work, because I think we all have something unique to contribute. There are a couple that I've sort of dipped my toe into. One is Kitty Vox, who is a professional voice artist. She does wonderful work, commissions really great scripts. If you like my stuff, I think you'll really enjoy hers as well. She does fully immersive audio, sound effects, music. She does a little bit more character-driven pieces than I do. I think I've been sort of sticking to real-life situations, but I intend to get into some character work. Yeah, she's very much impressed me from what I've heard of her so far. So then I had a few questions about collabs, my feelings on them, whether I would do them or not. I don't have strong feelings one way or another. I honestly haven't listened to a lot of them. I've seen them popping up, obviously. I would have to connect to the script if I were offered one. And I would have to, you know, sort of research my collaborators. In all honesty, if I were to do one, I probably would need to be the one writing the script. So I'm a bit of a control freak. I'm very picky about certain things. But I have actually done a collab of sorts. I mentioned Breach before, the wonderful series by Music and Whispers. And he put out a call asking for a female voice to contribute to the series, to play a character. And I volunteered as tribute. And it was a very joyful experience. My part is not very salacious. It's much more part of the base plot. But I really enjoyed it. He did a wonderful job with it. That episode, if you've not seen it, I have it up on my timeline. Do we call them timelines on Reddit? On my page, whatever it is, my thread. He's got two parts up so far. I'm in the second part, but I strongly advise listening to both parts because they're just brilliant. It's quite unfair how many things he is good at. You know, the writing is wonderful. The voice acting is great. The sound effects are second to none. And on top of all of that, he's got his own original music in there, which is just absolutely thrilling. And, so I guess that's about all of my opinion on collabs. Someone else asked what my favorite audios are. Not sure if they meant audios I've listened to or audios of my own. I've sort of already addressed audios I've listened to. I don't tend to go back to things multiple times. I'm constantly looking for new stimulation because I like the experience of being surprised in the moment. So I can't say there's a particular favorite that I go back to over and over again, because it really isn't. Of my audios, I do have a favorite. Horribly, it hasn't been released yet. I did something very dear to my heart that's a little bit more fantastical. I don't want to spoil too much. But I did rope Darling Music and Whispers into writing some music for it as payment for lending my voice to his series, and he absolutely blew it out of the water. I can't wait for you to hear it. It's actually killing me to not release it, but I'm trying to maintain trying to build a sense of impulse control. So you'll know it when you hear it. It's going to be brilliant. So sorry to be a tease. I had a couple of questions about what my favourite part of being on GWA is, and what the process, my favourite part of the process. I guess it's posting, because like I said before, I love the feedback. I love hearing what people thought, but I really enjoy every part of it. The creation part is very satisfying to me. The editing is very satisfying to me. The recording is very fun. And sort of just thinking about, you know, what sounds would make sense where, and can I create a sound or should I find an effect somewhere? The whole process is just very satisfying to me. Are there any ideas that you want to do, but you just don't feel ready to tackle? Yes. When I first decided to jump in headfirst, I made a list of a bunch of ideas, and there's quite a few I haven't gotten around to yet. Most of the ones I haven't done yet are related to not quite having decided how to tell the story. Speaking to a person in the present tense is not the way I've usually written my stories. So that has become a new experience, is sort of making up the dialogue in between my dialogue, and sometimes conveying a story or a scenario is harder to do when it should be the other person who's informing the situation. So I'll figure it out eventually. I've already jumped quite a few hurdles, and I intend to jump some more. Someone asked if I'm planning to make a series in the future. I'd love to. I haven't quite come up with a good idea for one yet. I'm mulling over something, but I want to make sure if I make a series that it won't be below my standard, if that makes sense. So I would have to take the time to write it all out, figure out, you know, how many episodes it should be, and not just sort of write each episode on the fly. I would want it to come to a satisfying conclusion. So yes, most definitely would love to do a series, just haven't quite figured it out yet. Someone else asked if I plan to sing again. Yes, I have two upcoming audios in which I briefly sing. It's a little difficult doing a full song or something like that, avoiding copyright, so I have to be a little careful. But if you've seen my posts on GWA Backstage, I'm greatly enjoying doing covers for that. Any chance to show off. But I love hearing everyone else sing as well. Just reminds me of being in theatre. So yeah, I'll try to point out when I've posted singing posts on there so you can listen as well. A couple of questions about mommy, or as we Brits say, mummy. Thoughts on mommy dom. May I call you mummy? Is it weird that I picture you as a mummy? I'm not particularly fond of it. It makes me feel a bit old, to be honest. I understand it. I do have a very mature sounding voice. But as someone who has no real desire to have children, being called mummy in any context is a bit much for me. So here's my compromise. You may call me Your Grace, if that works for you. I'm not horribly offended by it, by the way, at all. It's just makes me cringe a bit. Someone else asked, why does your voice make me weak in the knees? That would be because I'm a hypnotist. How does it feel knowing that thousands of people worldwide are getting off to your gorgeous voice? In all honesty, it's a bit odd. I have sort of two sides of that. One is my initial reaction to the first two audios that I posted, that I just got an unfathomable about amount of listens. I think the first one has just crossed over 10,000, and the second one has crossed over 30,000. So when I saw those numbers, all I could picture was a stadium full of people just pleasuring themselves, and me standing on stage talking into a microphone, which was a very odd mental image. It still makes me laugh. But on a serious note, it was something extremely powerful about it all. It's rare for a woman speaking uninterrupted in front of an audience of men to truly feel like she's being listened to. So when I see comments or get messages from people saying, you know, when you said this, it just set me off, or, you know, when you said that, I couldn't help myself. It's amazing to me because it means that they actually were listening and listening with intent. It's also very empowering because women tend to be prized for various physical attributes. So to be desired and appreciated purely because of my voice, and to be granted the power to elicit extreme emotional and physical reactions in people with just my voice is so extremely powerful to me. I really, really enjoy that thought, actually. And last question for this section. Besides GWA, what are your top three erotic subreddits to visit? And I have to be honest, I don't have any. I really did join Reddit for the first time the day that I posted my first audio. So I'm still sort of feeling my way around, but I really can't imagine anything else catering to my tastes as well as GWA does. So the next most popular category of questions, surprisingly to me, was about the technicality of my process and my previous professional experience. So I had quite a few people asking if I had a background in singing, in acting, in production. One person asked if I had a background in broadcasting. I do have a background in acting. I am a professional voiceover artist. I do a lot of voiceover work. It's not as exciting, I think, as people think it is. It's not always fun things like animation or video games. A lot of times it's very dry narration or what we call industrials, which is generally things that aren't seen by the public or heard by the public, I guess. But I do enjoy it. So other than my vocal experience, I've had a lot of questions about my process, which I love that you are also technically minded. I actually have a very simple setup. I'm on a Blue Yeti microphone. I put it on the binaural setting. I have a very small foam-lined shield I've put at the back of it to try and mitigate some of the ambience, because the room I record in is not soundproof at all. I do work in a professional studio, but I don't want to record these audios in that setting. So I've had to kind of cobble together something at home, which seems to work for now. The only problem is my sadly ancient PC, which desperately needs an update. It tends to hum horribly So trying to get that sound out of the audio is always my number one challenge. As far as the creation process, I have sort of a backlog of stories and ideas I've written over the years, things I kind of kept going back and forth to that I could never find a good home for. So I've started this out with a bank of material that now I am so grateful for. And that's sort of what I'm pulling from. My inspiration comes from all over the place. You know, movies, music, real life. Sometimes it's just pure fantasy on my part. My process tends to be I pick something I want to focus on, whether that's a character or a theme or an act that I want to highlight. And I'll try to think of a situation in which I can rope those things in naturally. And I'll sit in a quiet place, sort of map the story out in my mind first. Once I've got a good idea of where it's going, I go and sit down in front of the computer and start writing. There's been times where I've not written out line for line what I'm going to say because it's so fresh in my head. But most of the time, I do tend to write out lines because I don't want to have to edit through stumbling to find the correct syntax for a sentence. So yeah, I generally will write things out. Most of my scripts have come out to about 3 pages, double-spaced. And most of those audios have been between 10, 15 minutes or so. I don't know that I would commit to doing anything longer than 20 minutes. I think 20 minutes tends to be a good time. After that, it gets a bit boring. But perhaps I'll do something longer if I have a story that needs to be fleshed out a little bit more. So once it's written, I will sit down in front of the microphone. Someone asked about vocal preparation. I obviously have to do that in my real life just to preserve my voice for work. The key to that is just hydration, constant hydration. Always have a glass of water on hand. And also breathing exercises are extremely helpful so that you're not running out of breath in the middle of an inopportune moment. I generally will record my scripts in one take because I find that doing multiple takes and then trying to splice them together can result in blips in the audio. You may have even noticed some of them in this because I've gone in and edited out some of my waffling in between questions. It's hard to reestablish the same... I don't always have the language for this. It's hard to reestablish the same auditory atmosphere repeatedly. So if I don't record them in one take, it does tend to... You can hear the separation, is what I'm getting at. So I generally will try to record everything in one take. If I stumble over a line, I will stop, breathe, so that I can see the space in the audio recording, and then I will more easily be able to edit it out when I go back through. So yeah, the recording actually usually is the quickest part of the process. Once I've got the vocal track down and edited, I will go back through and start sussing out the sound effects. Some I will have noted already in the script. Some I sort of think of as I go back and listen, and I sort of decide whether it's something I can foley myself. General things like clothing removal or body movement, I can reproduce myself without having to go look for it. But more environmental sounds, I will go on to Free Sound and Source. And then it's just a matter of splicing them in, making sure they are in gently, and so that they're not too abrupt and they make sense in the moment. Once all the sound effects and everything are in place, I will render the file and upload it, and generally will listen to it once it's uploaded, because Soundgasm tends to do some pretty nasty things to the audio, as I've noticed. Can be perfectly crisp and clear when I've listened to it, and then I go back into Soundgasm and it's full of noises and things I didn't think were there. So if need be, then I'll go back and adjust settings and re-render, upload. And yeah, that's basically my process. I don't know if that's very interesting for people. So that sort of concludes the technical aspect. And now I've got some more salacious questions for you. A little bit more rapid fire. Are you single or taken? Are those the only two choices? I exist in the infinite universe between those two poles. We'll put it that way. Have you ever cheated on anyone? Yes, when I was much younger, I did. Now, I'm much better at communication. I'm much better at understanding myself and my needs and wants and desires in any given moment. And so I don't feel the need to cheat at all. What is the kinkiest thing you've ever done? I probably am very disappointingly vanilla compared to most of your tastes. There's been some group situations, I suppose, would fall into that category of kink. I don't know. I don't define my kinks and fetishes the way that other people do. I just let them exist. I don't tend to fixate on them and seek things out. I just go with what appeals to me in the moment. What is the dumbest, funniest sexual encounter you've ever had? I had a gentleman who really wanted me to trample him, if you know what that means. He wanted me to put on impossibly high heels and step on him, basically. which I did not do. Again, I'm disappointingly vanilla, I'm sure. Worst date and best date you've ever been on. Worst date was a chap who invited me over to his place and then made me watch him play Guitar Hero for 3 hours. I don't know why I stayed there for 3 hours. I really shouldn't have. It was boring as shit. Best date I've ever been on. There's been a few. Most of them are just down to the person, and you just really connect, and there's that spark, and conversation never seems to drop off. I live for that. I love that. What physical aspect of a man, if possible female as well, body turns you on the most? Hands. I love people's hands. I think besides our face, hands are the most expressive part of our bodies. Hands make things. Hands do so much work for us. They can be rough and gentle at the same time. I adore hands on all people. Take a sip of wine because this is about to get a little spicy. What physical aspect of a male... Oh, we already did that. Do you find tall men more attractive than short men? Not necessarily. Same with the next question. Do you find muscular men more attractive than non-muscular men? Not necessarily. I'm someone who definitely has a physical type that causes an impulse in me, but I don't tend to go for those men. I seek more of an emotional or an intellectual connection. The physical connection comes afterwards, most of the time. On instinct, I probably am more attracted to taller men, not necessarily to muscular men, but that absolutely does not mean that I wouldn't give a shorter man or a more muscular man a chance if he appealed to me personality-wise. It does not matter. The same goes for the next question, which is about size preference. And I know that most men will tend to shake their heads when women say this, but for me, it is true. It does not matter. I'm not with you because of the dick attached to your crotch. I'm with you because of the man attached to the dick. You know, size is no indication of prowess as a lover. There are many ways to please a woman, both mentally and physically, that have nothing to do with genitalia. And I've known men who were very secure in their size, who had absolutely no idea what they were doing. And I've known men who were, you know, maybe on the smaller side, who I had an absolutely lovely time with. It honestly does not matter to me. I think just be focused on pleasing your partner, on being invested in their pleasure, and you won't have to worry about any of the physical aspects. So next question is, what time of day are you the horniest? Probably late at night, or first thing in the morning. Just sort of the act of relaxing and laying down tends to put me in that mindset. What's your ideal amount of sex per week? I don't really have one. I go through a mood. Sometimes I'm absolutely insatiable, and sometimes I want a bit of a break. I don't really have an answer to that question. Favorite position and why? Anything where I'm being held. Missionary is nice because you have that eye contact, and I just adore that. But I also like being on my side and being held from behind, because it means I get to hear the person in the throes of pleasure right up next to my ear. And obviously, sound is quite a turn-on for me. So I'd say any position that requires the most physical contact. Which fictional character do you want to have sex with most and why? There was an old gaming series called Gabriel Knight. If anybody's played that, probably dating myself. The lead character was this writer who was also a supernatural detective. And he lived in the back of a bookstore and rode a motorcycle, had a leather jacket, tight blue jeans, tight white shirt, long blonde hair, and best of all, had Tim Curry's voice. Just absolute perfection. I know he's meant to be a bit of a loser in the beginning of the series, but I absolutely would. especially for that Tim Curry voice. I mean, Tim Curry is an absolute god. And him doing a New Orleans accent, or how do the Americans say it? New Orleans. I can't say it properly. But he does a decent one to my ear. Maybe people from there will disagree. It's damn sexy. What are the biggest mistakes men make when it comes to sex as well as dating relationships? That is a tall order for me to answer. Not communicating, probably. Men tend to let things fester a little bit too long. And I think men also don't tend to be honest with themselves about how they're feeling a lot of times. I would say that is the biggest mistake, is just learning to be honest with yourself about how you're feeling and then learning to communicate that to your partner. When you're dating someone new, do you think serious topic questions should be avoided and saved for later? It just depends. If one or both of us is looking for something specific, I think it's fine to address it right up front. For instance, if someone is looking to be in a committed relationship and the other partner or the other party isn't, I think it's perfectly fine to talk about that. You don't want anybody, you know, going into things under false pretenses. Is using coupons on a first date sexy? I would say use them surreptitiously. Just sort of slip them to the cashier or the waiter or something, without the other person saying. If you were a stripper, what would your stripper name be and what would your gimmick character be? I actually used to do burlesque, and my burlesque character was called Veronica Noir. And she was a secret agent. She was great fun to perform. Sadly, I haven't been able to do any burlesque since before the pandemic. So hopefully we'll get back to it soon, because it's something I very much enjoy. If all your sex toys came to life a la Toy Story, how would they behave and what would they talk about? They would probably talk about feeling neglected. I don't actually use toys all that often. That's my answer. There's two questions that's sort of similar to round out this category, about if religion or politics matter when dating someone. In theory, for me, no. As long as the person has compassion and empathy at their core, and as long as they are open-minded about conflicting opinions and letting themselves learn and evolve over time, I have no problem being around people I disagree with morally or politically. Life experience leads you to believe the things that you believe. So to tell someone that they are wrong to believe what they believe is to discount their life experience. That being said, I think in the current climate, it's a bit hard for people to find that sense of middle ground or respect. Sorry if you hear the walking around in the background, that's just my dog. people nowadays tend to latch onto one thing or another and make it the majority of their personality, which is never good on either side of anything. And those type of people probably wouldn't appreciate someone like me who has the drive to understand all the sides of an issue without necessarily agreeing with one side or another. That's what I strive for, is just to understand where people are coming from, even if I don't agree with them. Hopefully that's a good answer. So this last section is just sort of some fun miscellaneous information. One more sip of wine. What is your fashion sense? Day-to-day, I'm pretty casual. I tend to wear a lot of worn-out concert tees and sort of flowy trousers, ripped-up jeans, that sort of thing. If I'm really dressing up, probably I'd lean a little bit more towards vintage styles, sort of pin-up, rockabilly sort of things. I love a very defined silhouette, and sweetheart necklines and fit and flare dresses, things like that. I don't really stick to one thing or another. I do like colour quite a bit, so you'll tend to see me in bright, flashy colours. What is something other women do that you simply don't understand or can't relate to? I suppose dumbing themselves down for the benefit of a man, or convincing themselves that they can't do something. I get very frustrated with women who, you know, say something breaks on their computer and they just sort of throw their hands in the air and they go, "Ugh, I can't understand technical things." Well, you can if you make the effort to. I think they've just been conditioned to get a man to fix it for them. Same thing with power tools. Women don't tend to want to handle power tools. They'll hand it over to a man, go, "You know, you handle this. There's no reason you can't drill something, darling. It's not going to hurt you. Just be careful." Last time you called someone a cunt. And why? I don't know that I ever have. In anger? In Britain, cunt is used a little bit more jovially. So I've possibly used it more in a joking sense, but probably not in a vicious sense. If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, what advice would you give her? Don't be afraid. I was very socially awkward and nervous and anxious when I was younger about a lot of things, constantly concerned about what other people thought. And I wish I wasn't. I think I missed out on a lot of things because I couldn't bring myself to be brave enough to experience them. What mythological creature do you feel you could describe yourself as? I am a unicorn through and through, baby. Not in the rainbow and glitter sense, in the traditional medieval unicorn sense, in that they were considered vicious animals who would attack at will, but could be subdued by those who are pure of heart. I very much relate to that. And the rainbow and sparkles bit as well. Your favourite book? I tend towards classic literature. So probably The Picture of Dorian Gray, if only because Oscar Wilde is my favourite writer. So much of his stuff, very tragically, is themed around self-sacrifice for love, which ultimately, if you don't know his story, is how he met his end in a roundabout way. He did something that basically ended up in resulting in his demise for a person that he loved. I very much love The Picture of Dorian Gray. I read it at least once a year. I think there's a lot of things to be mined out of it. Favorite movie? I'm going to go with Velvet Goldmine, which may be an odd choice. I don't know. It's just got a wonderful cast. The visuals are stunning. The costumes and the makeup, my God, very appealing to me. The music is gorgeous. If you don't know what Velvet Goldmine is about, it's a sort of retelling of the glam rock era in the 70s with fictionalized versions of David Bowie and Iggy Pop and Mark Bolan, people like that. And that music very much appeals to me as well. The music in the film appeals to me. I think it's actually a movie that's mostly hated by Bowie fans, funnily enough, but I adore it. And favorite food? Pasta, without question. If I could eat pasta every night, I probably would. That would not be a healthy option. What music do you like? Probably tell. I'm quite a fan of classic rock. Bowie, of course, but The Who, The Kinks, Beatles, Stones, Elton John, Queen. That sort of 60s, 70s classic rock is my safe place. I also like quite a bit of jazz and classical music. And having come from a theatrical background, I do listen to the occasional show tune. favorite cartoon growing up? I don't know if this sounds pretentious. I really didn't watch too much television growing up. I don't know that I have one. I'll probably think of something once I turn the recording off, but for the moment, I don't have an answer for you, I'm sorry. Which of the four elements do you feel the most related to? Probably water. I have always been soothed by the sound of running water. Oftentimes, when I'm meditating, I will go into the bathroom, turn on the shower, and just let it run, because it puts me into a very peaceful mind state. I also enjoy being around bodies of water, lakes and rivers and oceans and sort of thing. I'm not sure what that is. I will always jokingly say it's because I'm Aquarius, which funnily enough is an air sign, but the icon is the water bearer, so the pouring water out of a jug, hence the running water thing. So yeah, I would think that. Hobbies and interests outside of GWA, too many to name. I'm quite a good cook. I'm a very good cook, actually. I'm also one of those people who learned to bake bread during the pandemic, and I am addicted to it. I may actually go and bake a loaf or two when I get off the microphone. I just like making things in general. Sometimes I set myself little craft projects. Last year I learned how to solder LED lights, and I started making little dioramas and things that light up, and that was so magical to me. I also learned to make soap, which is very entertaining, but very difficult for someone who likes instant results like me, because you have to wait quite a while for it to solidify and be usable. What have you missed most during lockdown? Live music, without question. One of my favorite things in the world is going to a concert and just feeling the bass line rumbling up through your feet into your body and beating out your chest. That is just a feeling you can't replicate anywhere else but in a live music venue. So I can't wait to start going to concerts again. Are you mad at us for stealing Harry? I'm assuming you mean Americans. No. I'm not a royalist myself, but it is rather annoying that you took the one good one. We only get one good one per generation. Waffles or pancakes? Waffles. Especially a Liege waffle. Little crispy bits of pearl sugar. It makes for a nice little snack. I do enjoy pancakes. American pancakes, I think, are a little bit denser and heavier than English ones. English ones are a little more crepe-like. American-style pancakes, I can rarely finish a plate of. If I'm going out to brunch with a group of friends or something, we'll order pancakes for the table so that everyone can have a bite or two. That's about good for me. Do you like Doctor Who? Of course I do. It's a requirement when you're British. My favourite Doctor is probably David Tennant, but I did grow up watching reruns of the older Doctor Who episodes, so Tom Baker was my first Doctor, and always will be. What was the last movie you saw? Luca. I watched Luca on Disney Plus. It's a lovely little movie. Not my favourite Pixar movie, but the setting was sort of new and exciting for Pixar. Something a little different, sort of a seaside Italian town. The story was all right. Yeah, not my favourite, but it was a nice little movie. And last question, have you ever cried during a movie? If yes, tell us about it. Absolutely. The first movie I ever remember crying at was The Truman Show with Jim Carrey. The ending just sort of got to me for whatever reason. For a long time, it took a lot for me to cry at movies. Now, with more life experience under my belt, I cry fairly easily. As far as a movie that had a massive emotional impact, Life is Beautiful. Sir Roberto Benigni, I think is his name. It was one of those movies I saw once and was so affected by it that I don't think I can ever watch it again. It was very difficult. The ending is just... it's just utterly heartbreaking. But it certainly made an impression on me that lasts to this day. So yeah, that was all of the questions. Thank you so much for everyone who asked and for everyone who's listening. And for everyone who has joined me for this exciting and ridiculous journey I'm on with GWA. I hope you will stick with me. I've got lots more exciting things in store for you. So until next time, my darlings, cheers.